Welcome to Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business, where every week you will learn the secrets to running a business without the stress. Here is your host, Angela Council.
Hi, it's Angela here, and just before we start, I just need to give you a little bit of word of warning. There's a little bit of mild adult language in this episode, so maybe better off to wear some headphones, particularly if you normally listen to the podcast in the car with the kids around. So I hope you enjoy the episode. See you soon. Bye. Welcome to this week's episode of Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business, where every week we get together to learn the secrets of being in business and living the great life without all of the stress. My name's Angela Council, your lifestyle and business mentor. And this week I am joined by someone very, very special, Carly Nimmo. Now, when it comes to podcasting, I'm small fry. I have no idea what I'm doing. Carly knows everything when it comes to podcasting, audio. She actually has a background in audio, in radio. She knows all about this stuff. So I thought I'd get her along to share with you some of her secrets, also some of the journey that she's been through in her business, because it hasn't always been roses. There's been lots of bumps along the way, and she's tried different types of things in her business. She's had large businesses, she's had small businesses. So we're going to learn lots from Carly today on how you do a podcast, how you build a business, how you actually juggle it all as well, because not only is Carly doing all this, she's also a mum, she's got a little girl, so she's kind of making it all happen, and I think she makes it a little bit up as she goes along, just like the rest of us. So we're going to have a really honest conversation here. So welcome to the show, Carly.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for having me. And there's honesty is just, it's going to be real.
Yep, let's keep it that way. None of us know what we're doing, and I think
that's it.
We all just bumble along, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Absolutely. So share with us what your background is, because as I said, you've got a background in radio, but you've got a very specific background that you use now in what you do.
Yeah, so I have always been entrepreneurial, even as a kid. And when I think when I was in about my early to mid 20s, I went to work in radio for a little bit. It was fun, but the pay was atrocious and the egos were even more atrocious. So I decided that I could earn $440 a week doing something else. And I left to start doing voiceover work. Well, actually, copywriting. I got two jobs as a copywriter, and they were both for on-hold systems for brothels, which interesting. And then, I bought a mic and I thought, hey, I'll just have some fun with this. And yeah, and that's where Killer Copy started back in 2004. And I've been running it since then. It's turned into a voiceover agency, which I look after about 20 talent. And we work with really large corporate companies, so, and government agencies and things like that. So, you know, Telstra and all the big banks and Coles, Meijer, Woolworths, mining companies, the works. So we record their voiceovers for their learning programs. So my background is very much heavily based on audio, and I'm obsessed with audio.
I hope mine's sounding okay today.
It's totally fine. But you know, this is the thing, like I'm not a dictator or anything when it comes to audio. It's like, as long as it's listenable, then that's totally fine with me. You know, I actually just recorded a podcast the other day because my microphone was broken with one of those Apple headphones. Mm. And, you know, it's fine. It has to be listenable. It doesn't have to be perfect. So,
because that's a big thing, isn't it? When you're listening to something, if the audio is crap,
yeah,
it's really hard. And sometimes I know that I've listened to some podcasts and you can hardly hear it because it's so soft. Yeah. Other times it's got so much distortion and crackle. And like, I get it, because when I first started doing this, when I was my other podcast, I didn't use a proper microphone. I was just using what was in my laptop and an iPhone stuck beside the speaker and recording at the same time. And the audio was shocking, but you got to learn.
Absolutely. And, you know, you got to start somewhere. And if that's where you start, that's cool. You can only go up from there, you know.
That's right. So,
And most people let that, you know, let that fear get in the way of stopping them, where, you know, I'm all for starting with what you have. And you know, and there's tips and tricks that you can do, like just grab an Apple headset. It's going to improve the audio, you know, drastically than obviously just a microphone that's inbuilt into your computer. So there's like lots of things that you can do to kind of keep your audio okay. One thing that really drives me crazy is when you're listening to a podcast and the guest is really, really quiet and then the other person is really loud.
Yes.
Anyway, that's kind of my current mission is to rid the world of shit-sounding podcasts. So it's a big mission, let me tell you.
Well, there's a lot out there to choose from.
There are. Yeah, so, you know, like you mentioned before, I just kind of have a go at things. So in terms of my work history, I think it's probably a good thing to mention that I had a really huge failure. And it was a co-working space that I opened in 2012. And heartbreaking experience, because I was so passionate about getting this thing off the ground and changing the world, and it didn't fly. And it, for a number of reasons, I won't go into the whole list of them right now, but there were a lot of reasons that it didn't work. And I, in the end, I had to make a really tough decision to cop a $100,000 loss, which is a lot.
It's a lot of money, isn't it?
It is. And when you're like, that's a lot to me.
It's a lot to most of us.
Yeah.
Particularly you're in business by yourself, I think it's a lot to most of us.
And I'm not a million-dollar turnover business. So $100,000 was a huge loss for me. And from there, you know, I fell pregnant with my daughter and took a step back and just focused. I was very lucky that I had Killer Copy, my voiceover agency, to kind of float me. It's been like my bridge job, you know. And so I can always kind of come to that and explore other things that I'm interested in. So while, after I had Mabel, I kind of just went into a hole of motherhood and was feeling really lost and still kind of healing from the big, you know, the grief of losing my dream. And I just was really curious about how, you know, how other people processed failure and how they framed it, and if they let fear hold them back, and what did they struggle with? Because, you know, there's a lot of shiny out there and not a lot of the real gritty shit. So I wanted to have conversations with people just about that stuff. And so I started my podcast, Carlosophies, and it went crazy from there. So when I started Carlosophies, you know, it was just me walking on the beach sometimes, talking to myself and the universe, and then having really in-depth conversations with other women entrepreneurs about the real story behind success, because overnight success just is a total...
No, that's right. Doesn't exist, does it?
No.
Well,
and
maybe
even
it does
starts,
every so often, but there's a lot of work that goes behind
but
that.
But I think, like... Yeah, for sure. And I think, like, even if it does exist, then you haven't done the groundwork. You haven't got the foundation in place, so that if you all of a sudden explode, it's not sustainable if it's overnight. You know, that's why it takes so long for us to reach dizzying heights, because we have to have all the, you know, the systems in place, but also the mindset in place so that we don't, you know, totally screw it up. So, yeah, Carlosophy's kind of exploded, and I ended up in New and Noteworthy for the first 3 months, and I hit number one in my category. On, you know, I was sitting on top of people like Pat Flynn and Gary Vee and Harvard Business Review, and it was just a totally amazing experience, and I just loved it because it was just me talking from the heart and having really great conversations. The best fun ever. It's what I wanted to do in radio, but instead I was playing shit music like Human Nature and talking about, you know, icy cold cans of Coke. So this is really, you know, so much fun. And then people started just flocking to me and asking me, how do you start a podcast? Because obviously my podcast sounds shit hot. Like I'm not going to beat around the bush there. sometimes not so much, but, you know, the production value is really high on it, and the quality is really high because it's my background and I know what I'm doing. So, so people just started kind of flocking to me, asking me, how do I start a podcast? And, you know, with running a business around what was then a one-year-old who didn't sleep, you know, I was like, guys, I'm sorry, I can't like teach you everything just in one conversation. So I started Radcasters. And that's been going since, I think we started in August or September of last year. I've had about 70 people go through the course. And, yeah, proud to say that there's, you know, some pretty good podcasts out there, thanks to me in part.
So do you think that podcasts work for all businesses?
No, I don't. I don't. Honestly, you know, I think that service-based businesses for coaches and, you know, absolutely. For product-based businesses, I'm yet to really find someone doing it well. Because nobody wants to listen to a half-hour
ad. That's right, yeah, editorial.
Yeah, so I think that there could be clever ways to do podcasting around products, you know, but generally, it's not the greatest medium for product-based businesses. Yeah,
particularly once you take the video side, if you take the video out of it, because some of them, there is one, there's one guy, I don't know who he is, but he does video, so it's not audio, but he puts all these different things in blenders.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And what he's selling is the blender.
Yeah.
And how great the blender. And I've seen him put an Android into one and an iPhone into another to mash it all up to see which is better, the Android or the iPhone. I think the Android one. But he's not selling phones. He's selling blenders.
Yeah. And see video is a great medium for that, you know, but obviously
it would work the same as on audio.
No, not without some serious, storytelling ability. Yeah.
And one of the best things I love about podcasts, because I mean, or when I walk every single day or when I'm driving, is that podcasts, you can just play and you can play them all the time. I don't listen to commercial radio. I watch very little TV. I get most of my learnings, most of my entertainment just by listening to other people on podcasts. I mean, I have so many podcasts, and I think that's the best thing about podcasts is that you can just listen to them anywhere.
Yeah.
So as a business, if you've got a message to get out there, really, if you're comfortable speaking, and it's easier to speak when you're just speaking to a microphone, not to a camera, well, I think anyway, you can kind of just, you know, you can just talk.
And it's like, I mean, there's so many benefits. Number one, you don't have to get out of your pajamas.
Mm-hmm.
So you could do it totally nude if that's your schtick. Awesome. You don't have to put on makeup either, which is a bonus because I hate wearing makeup. And it's not live. So it can be edited, which is something that I really love, because the pressure, you know, if you're doing a live webinar or live radio, it's nerve-wracking. Even for me, I used to write out every single word I would say when I worked in live radio, because any number of things can go wrong. But with a podcast, you know, you've got a safety buffer. You can edit it out. And if it's crap, then you don't have to put it to air. But I think the key with podcasting and why it works so well is, you know, because as you said, you're listening to it while you're out walking the dog or you're cooking dinner, and any other medium with, you know, video or with reading, you have to actually disconnect from what you're doing in order to consume, where with a podcast you can go anywhere. And it's interesting because I don't know if there's actually anything to prove that this is the case, but there's something that happens when people are listening to you while they're driving the car or while they're walking the dog or while they're cooking dinner, that it's like you've been invited into their lives.
Yep.
And so the rapport is built way quicker than any other medium, because it's easy to consume and it's done wherever they are. They don't have to disconnect from their family in order to consume. So it really is, I don't know, and yeah, it's just a magical medium. I love audio, and being a voiceover artist, you know, there's people say, oh, you know, that sounds like a good job or whatever, but it's actually really hard to act with just your voice,
because
you don't have the visual cues.
That's right.
Yeah, so I just love audio.
We can tell. So how do you think people can use podcasts to build their business? I mean, we can, because there's lots of different styles of podcasts. There's interviews, there's just you talking on what you do, there's lots of different ways of doing a podcast. Do you think there's one way that's better than another, which actually helps you build your business, or it's whatever feels right for you?
Yeah, I am a big believer on knowing your, you know, knowing your why, but not necessarily in the bigger Simon Sinek, you know, way of why. I mean, like, why you're podcasting straight off the bat. So is that purely lead generation? Is it because you just really, like me, want to explore a topic that you're curious about? Is it because you want to make money from podcasting straight up? Then when you know those things straight up, then you can put the plan in place to make that shit happen. But if you go in and you don't really know why you're doing it, then you're going to kind of float around and probably start questioning the entire process early on in the piece. Because, you know, I'm not going to lie, podcasting can be a lot of work. It can be very simple. Like, my free flow combos are literally me walking on the beach. So I'm already doing that every day. I'm recording on my phone with a microphone while I'm walking along the beach, and then I come home and it takes me 3 minutes to whack a top and tail on. And that is a podcast done. So it doesn't have to be a lengthy process, but it can be. You know, if you're wanting to really highly edit an hour interview, it might take you 3, 4, 5 hours to do.
Yeah, I see people who spend hours editing. I'm like you. I top and tail.
Yeah.
I just go live and whatever. I mean, sometimes the recording may drop out because Skype drops, so I have to edit two pieces together. That's the most I do. And and people say, I spend 2 hours editing. I'm going, what are you editing?
Yeah.
It's like, but, you know, obviously they're looking at different things that they want to come out of it, but I just don't know how you can spend that much time editing.
No. And I mean, I actually enjoy editing because it's, you know, it's part of my, I guess, creative process. I do, you know, I have a team of editors, but I still mostly edit my own podcast unless I'm feeling really stuck around something, and then I'll shoot it off. And we actually offer podcast editing services. So, you know, the thing is, for me, the biggest part is, so I look at it as there's a podcast triangle, and there's three elements to a podcast triangle, possibly two, but mainly three.
Hi, sorry for the interruption, but I just wanted to tell you about our private Facebook group, Stress-Free Living. That's where we have lots more conversations about reducing stress. I share lots of tips for you so that you can run a business, raise a family, and look after yourself. So check it out on Facebook. Back to the conversation.
So you've got you, and you're at the top of the triangle, because without you, none of the other stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got your guest, which is the second optional part of the triangle. And then at the end, you've got your audience. And the reason that it's that way is because you should always come first. You should be talking, to be a successful podcaster, you want to have the trifecta, and you are at the top of that trifecta. So you need to know what you want to talk about and how a podcast can work for you. So if you're not down with doing 3 or 4 hours of editing, then, you know, don't do it. If you just want to show up at the microphone ad hoc and not even have a structure and just podcast as you feel fit, do it. Like, there are no hard and fast rules. I think what works for someone might work for somebody else, but it might not too, because this, you know, all of the, like we were talking about before, the foundation is a big part of it, right? So if you haven't got that foundation in place, then you just, I don't know. I think the key is you. You got to do it for you.
Yeah.
And you got to know what you want out of it. And then obviously the guest experience is important too, because when they have a great experience, then they're much more relaxed in the podcast. They're going to open up a lot more, and they're going to be more likely to share it with their audience. Plus share some, you know, they might be keen to introduce you to some of their friends. So, you know, the guest is definitely the second most important part of your podcast if you're doing interviews. And then the third is the audience, because if the first two are rock solid, the third can't have a shit experience.
Yeah. So how do you grow up? I mean, someone decides to put a podcast together, they interview someone, they put it out there, put it on iTunes, put it out in Stitcher Radio. But there's more to it than that. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is that you then really have to market your podcast like you would market any other product in your business. But it becomes difficult, particularly if you haven't monetized your podcast, to actually put that into your marketing plan, because people need to know about it. Because even just to get into New and Noteworthy on iTunes, that's difficult. It doesn't just happen.
That's right. And I think, you know, that's one of the biggest misconceptions that I see people kind of come to me for. And it's the same with blogging and launching a new product. People, they think that they'll find the one thing, whether it's the blog or the podcast or a product, and then it's just going to magically explode. And it doesn't happen like that. Like, I hustled my ass off to get in New and Noteworthy. You know, you don't get to number one in iTunes within in business within 48 hours of launching without some serious hustle going into it. So I see, and I even see some of my Radcaster students, they launch and then they've got such a fantastic product in that podcast and it could be doing amazing things for their business, but, you know, they've got some fear about being seen or promoting themselves. And that happens so often with women. I can't really speak for men because I don't really have a lot to do with men in business. But for women, absolutely, you know. So they'll launch this amazing thing and then no one will ever listen because they're just whispering that it's out there when they should be screaming it from the rooftops, you know.
This is one of the things I think that podcasts now are becoming, lots of people are doing it. And as you said before, it's like everyone else was doing blogs. You then have to be able to stand out for your crowd, not for the whole crowd. But I also think you have to love doing podcasts.
Yeah.
Because there is there's a lot of work in it, you know, if you're interviewing people and, you know, getting people to, tie up times, and we had a bit of a mismatch on times.
Yeah.
But being able to sit all that down and then go, okay, well, who am I interviewing? Who am I including? All of that type of stuff, because you have to want to do that, because there is a lot of work to it if all you're going to do is put something out there and no one's actually going to give you any feedback or no one's going to hear it.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that's one thing that people really need to realize is that, you have to work at it or you're getting something out of it. You know, I love podcasting. Well, I actually love talking to people. And I love when I get on these conversations. You know, I have a set of questions which I never ask.
but they're there. You know, I say this to my students all the time. Have a backup list, because sometimes you will get on a call and it's going to be super awkward and you'll be so glad that you had that place, you know, those questions in place just in case.
Yeah, because some people are nervous about being interviewed. So that's why if I've got the questions, at least they feel comfortable. And then I just find that when people get into their zone, the stuff that they love to do, I can just sit back and they just take over.
Absolutely.
And that's what I love, because I love hearing people's stories.
Yeah.
And, you know, just chatting to them, and then they just start talking more and more and more. And that's what I love about podcasting. You know, and then even sometimes when I just do my own episodes where I can just get on there and just talk about whatever crap's running through my head at the time.
Totally.
It can be weird stuff that comes out, but it's someone's hearing it. I believe truly that someone's hearing it. How many people are hearing it? I don't know, because I'll be honest, I don't overly look at my numbers. I do podcasts.
No, I don't either.
I don't worry about my numbers. I know that there are people out there listening to it, so the right people are hearing what I need to say, and it's getting out there. So that's because I don't get hung up on numbers full stop on anything anymore, because it used to stress me.
Yeah,
sit there only doing these numbers, and someone else is doing this number, and I gave up looking at numbers.
And you know, I totally hear you on that. I'm removing myself from a bunch of lists and putting the blinders on a bit, because it's really great to have a lot of women entrepreneurs support around you, but not if you're just sitting in this place of comparison the whole time. You know, it can be disempowering as well as empowering. So, you know, I think sometimes it's really important to put the blinders on. And actually, one thing that I did want to say about that whole marketing your podcast thing, you know, it ties really back into my original co-working space that I started. I approached that from the build it and they will come you know, kind of philosophy. And I built it and threw a shit ton of money into it. And I can tell you, you build it and it doesn't mean that they come.
They didn't come.
At least with a podcast, it's probably just a little bruised ego that, you know, in a bit of time. But
because you can just slip away and just not put any more episodes out. No one would know.
I know. And this is another thing that I see getting in the way of podcasters is, or potential podcasters, is that they really think that they have to podcast week in, week out until somebody buries them, you know? And it's not the case. Like, you just do it as you feel called to do it.
Yeah.
And if you hate it, don't do it, you know? But if you don't try things, then you're never going to know. And for me, it's like I've tried a lot of different things. You know, the Office Collective, my co-working space, was definitely my biggest public failure, but I've had so many. And it doesn't stop me from trying again or trying something different, you know?
So let's just talk about that, because that can be a hard thing to come back from, and not just the financial loss. There's also the loss of faith, the loss of who you are.
Yep.
Your belief, probably more than anyone else's, that you are a failure and all of that type of crap that would have gone on. Because I've been through a similar thing. I didn't have the financial loss, but, you know, closing down a business and walking away from it. To me, the hardest part was, will people think I failed?
Yeah. See, for me, I honestly, most of the time, don't give a shit what other people think about me, which can serve me well, but also not so well in some respects. For me, it was, I had really tied up my self-worth into the success of the business. So if it succeeded, I was a success. And if it failed, well, when it failed, I was a failure. And that's tough. You know, and it did take me a long time to process that and kind of understand that, you know, it's just a failed business. It was just an idea that was handed to me from wherever ideas come from. I acted on it. It didn't work. And that's okay. Like, would I do it again? Well, you know, honestly, probably not. But for the growth that it provided and the personal insight, and to actually now be, you know, 3 years out and have a kid, like, that was, you know, and be where I am now, then yes, I would absolutely pay that again to do it. You know, it came down to a few things that really changed the course of you know, I guess where my mindset was. A friend of mine, well, you'd know Lisa Wynn.
Yep.
She was studying to be a life coach and had offered to give me a couple of free sessions. And that was probably the worst thing she probably ever did. And she got me on a day where I had literally about $400 in my account or something, and I had to pay rent and didn't have enough to cover that, and I didn't have enough to cover rent on the house or our mortgage. And the tax office rang me about 10 minutes before I was supposed to get on the call for her, demanding about, I think it was, 14 or 16,000. I don't know whether it was 14 or 16,000, because this isn't the first time the tax office have rung me for an amount.
You're on a hotline call, are you?
Yeah, I think I'm on the ATO's speed dial. Not anymore, but I was. It was like that mistake that I just kept on making, you know, put aside tax. And so they rang demanding, you know, that I pay this $16,000, which I didn't have. And I just lost it. Like, I totally lost it. And sadly, actually considered an out would be taking my own life. Like, that's where I was at. I was about to lose everything. And I was just at the lowest point I have ever been when I jumped on that call with Lisa, poor woman. And she just shared with me an image, which I share a lot, above and below the line. Mm-hmm. And asked me to, you know, have a look at the image and see where I was sitting. And, you know, above the line is love and below the line is fear, and above the line is hero and below the line is victim, and above the line is abundance and below the line is lack, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, a bunch of negative and positive states. And I looked at it and I was like, holy shit, I am like 100% there, 100% under the line. Like, I'm below under the line. And, you know, I had hit rock bottom so many times that, you know, honestly, there was one further rock bottom, but I wasn't willing to hit that. And so she just shared that image with me, and it just changed my life. I went after that call, I went to the office and I drew one whole wall. I drew that image on there. And every time I had to make, you know, any time I was having a thought or I was recognizing that I was having a thought or I was feeling a sense of anything that was below the line, I just look at this wall and go, okay, what can I do to, you know, bump myself up a bit above the line? So, you know, that was pivotal, and I still use it on a daily basis. And then the other thing that happened shortly after was I jumped on a call with another girlfriend, and she said, you know, close your eyes and just imagine that this Office Collective thing is pumping and it's exactly what you had imagined it to be. Is that worth what you're going through right now? And for me, it was a clear hell no. So then the decision was rather easy because it was like, well, it has to go. It's not worth this. You know, I think if something is worth the pain, then you can keep going on with it. But if it's not, it's okay to walk away.
Yeah, and I think sometimes the best business decision that you can make is to walk away.
Yeah. I really hate those pictures that do the rounds of quitters don't quit, you know.
No.
It's like, no, sometimes there are more important things than everybody recognizing that you're successful, you know.
And what does success mean? Because success, and this is, you know, I've just come back from holiday, so I've been doing podcast overload, particularly with Kylie Patchett.
She's been
in my ears for the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, what is success anyway? Because everyone's version of success is different. You know, someone's idea of success might be having $1 million, but my idea of success is being able to walk down the beach and not actually have to have someone say, you need to be here at a certain time, that I can actually make that decision for me because I've got the freedom to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think we can get hung up on this. Oh, well, success means I've got a six-figure business. And once I get to a six-figure business, what does that mean? Oh, I've got to get to six and plus look, or a seven. It's like...
Yeah, I think, you know, it's constantly changing the gameposts, you know. And I think I've had a six-figure business for, I don't even know, maybe since 2008. Mm. And it ain't all it's cracked up to be.
Yeah, and I mean, I've been there too, and it's like, and all I did was burn out.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you had to keep working at it, and I work with women, you know, other female entrepreneurs who are stressed, and that's what I see is they get hung up on their idea of success is, you know, money and things like that, and it's amazing the number of women that get there and then they're afraid of losing it.
Yeah.
Because you get there, how am I going to keep it? So they just keep pumping it out, pumping and pushing and pushing and pushing.
Yeah.
So they don't lose it.
Yeah. And I have this thing that I always remind myself of, and it's like a closed fist isn't open to gifts.
Mm.
You know, so when you're trying to hold on so tight to something that your hand is like, you know, your fingernails are digging into your palms, it's time to let go because that's not healthy. That's not a healthy state to be in, this constant state of stress. I think for me, you know, I explore this topic of what does success mean to you. It's part of the reason that I started Carlosophies, to ask people what their definition of these things were. And one thing for me is that I've realized success and freedom are totally interlinked for me. So, you know, it is that. It's like I want to be able to walk on the beach every day. I want to be able to go to the gym and do a workout if I feel like it. I want to be able to jump on a podcast interview and have a really great conversation with someone, even if it means that there's no monetization involved.
Mm.
You know, I want to be able to explore the ideas that I have. I want to be able to create. And the main thing is I want to be able to speak. You know, I constantly want to be speaking, sharing my message, sharing my story. And so if I'm doing, and also then there's the other element not kind of tied up in the way I see myself. And that is like, I want to be healthy and I want to be happy and I want to have quality time with my family. And that, if I've got that, like if I'm doing something that I love and I enjoy, and if it's making a difference, fantastic. if I'm happy and I'm healthy and I have family and friends around me, then that's my definition of success these days.
And I think that that's one of the biggest gifts that we can give our children is absolutely actually seeing that, and seeing that you don't have to strive so hard and work so hard. Because I don't know about you, but I grew up in being told that the only way to be successful is to work harder.
Yeah, totally.
And I think that a lot of women have grown up with that. And it's what I hear time and time again with women who come to me who are burnt out. It's like, I've got to work hard if I'm going to be successful. But what I want to share with my children, and both my boy and my girl, is that burning yourself out and stressing yourself out is not worth that success if you're not having fun, if totally you're not enjoying yourself. And because, you know, I've been there, I've burnt out. I was a crap mother. I know I was a terrible mother. And that's what they were seeing. My son was seeing it so much. He was seeing me stressed, and because he's very sensitive, and he would get upset. And I realized I was doing that to him because that's the way I was living. It's like, this is the way you've got to do it. And he now, and he's got it now, because his father has a lot of the, you've got to work hard to be successful. Yeah. So he's in high school now, and he keeps pushing himself and pushing himself. And I'm going, if you can't do it and you're doing the best you can, that's all you need to do.
Yeah.
Because he's a kinesthetic learner. So he struggles. Yeah. Because he was in Montessori school, which is very hands-on. Now he's not in mainstream. He's in mainstream high school. He's so kinesthetic, and so he feels it. He's having trouble with the visual and the auditory, and it's because they're not teaching to his way of learning, but he's then taking the stress on. So I have to teach him that there's better ways of dealing with it.
Yeah.
But I know that I've taught him that stress is an okay way to be, but that's one of the big things that I don't want him to know anymore, because I had to change.
I think, you know, as a society, we have the star charts and the reward systems and all those kind of things that we have to keep being better. You know, being better.
Yeah. Because it really worries me when I see what's happening with children today, and just the way even the way we took on what our parents taught us, but I think it's getting worse because there's so much social media. Everybody knows everything that's going on, and everyone's got to be seen to be a success. But behind the closed doors, when the Wi-Fi is out, people are hurting and they're in pain.
Yeah. And I think it's dangerous. Like, for me, I understand that everyone, like the struggle that I have, I totally understand that everybody has that struggle. So while I'm looking at somebody's feed and it's all happy and glowy, I know that is part of their life, and it could be a part of their life that they need to cling to because the rest of their life is falling apart, you know? And so for me, it's like, I'm fine flicking through a feed and seeing 100 million happy photos of people, but because I know that it's not the reality.
Yeah, and I think it'd be really nice if, and that's what I love about these podcasts, is that, you know, you get people who, you know, people like you, women like you, Kylie, and they share the real truth.
Yeah.
You know, and they share, oh yeah, look, I've done it. I've had that big business, but you know, it wasn't worth what I had to give up for it.
Yeah.
And that's what I think is the message, and that's really what, because I speak to women one-on-one. When they're sitting here working and I'm working with them through what's going on, I know the back end. I know when they, you know, they tell me that they, so many women tell me they feel like a fraud because on the outside, everything looks good and everyone thinks they're doing such a great job. And they say, but I don't feel like that on the inside. And I hear that time after time after time. And they go, and they're hanging on to what everyone else thinks. But the thing is, what other people think, they think for about 2 seconds and then they move on. Because most of the time they're not even thinking about you. It's just like they made a comment.
They give less of a shit about you.
That's right.
This was the thing when the Office Collective was falling apart. I thought I was very open and honest about that because, I mean, that's who I am. So, but I still had people going, oh, it looks so awesome. It must be going so well. And it's like, no. How can you even think that?
Yeah, because people, they don't care. They're bound up in their own issues.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. We're so worried about what other people think and, or, you know, what the world looks like. But No one cares. Everyone's just so into their own stuff. Occasionally they'll make a comment, which is just a passing comment, and then they're back in their own shit again.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, like, I as a podcaster and as someone who does a lot of live webinars and Facebook Lives and stuff, you know, there's often these times where we're, even in podcast interviews, where we're talking and in our mind we're going, what the fuck am I talking about? Where is this going? I don't know where it's going. Or this is going to be super awkward if I just stop and take a breath and try and think about where I need to go next. But the person watching has no idea that that's what's going on.
No, that's
even though, like, why don't they? Because it goes on. Everybody does that. Everybody's sitting there going, well, everybody I know anyway is in a Facebook Live, and there's a certain amount of adrenaline that kicks in, and then, you know, they're kind of wondering, where the hell am I going with this? And, oh my God, is this an awkward silence? And, you know, like a 2 second silence feels like a lifetime.
Yeah.
And that's normal, but we don't have these conversations, you know? We don't often talk about the fact that while I'm talking to you, I'm thinking, oh my God, I hope I don't sound like a dickhead, you know? But it's what happens.
So that was a great little segue on that little, don't know where that went, but
hey, it was fun.
That's right. So share with people who are really interested in finding out a little bit more about podcasting and let them know how they can find out about Radcasters.
Okay, cool. So I do a monthly Podcasting 101 webinar, which is a really great place to start. Because, you know, it's an overview of everything that you need to have in place to start a podcast. And I do talk about audio quite a bit in that. So that's a really great place to start. And they run once a month, usually they're live at this point in time. And then I also have the Four Hurdles email series, which is actually really fantastic, if I do say so myself. It's about the four key things that I see getting in people's way before they start podcast. Fear is obviously one, fear and self-doubt. Tech woes, because they just don't know what they need and where to start, and it's all too overwhelming, because that's what we tend to do, go into like a confusion spiral and end up never taking action because we've just, you know, yeah, totally.
Can't work out which is the right microphone to use.
Yeah. Time, we know we cover time because, as we've spoken about today, like, it can take a lot of time, but it also, if you're smart, you can do it in less time. And there's another one which I can't remember right now. But anyway, it's really good.
It's so brilliant.
Yeah. So if you're feeling stuck in terms of starting a podcast, but in terms of taking action in anything, it's really quite useful. So that's just available at radcasters.com as well. And we've just gone from a launch model to evergreen. So I just found that people, when they're ready to start a podcast, I don't want them to have to wait 6 weeks.
Yeah.
For my next round to start. So, you know, I'm just really moving into the phase of trusting and moving away from scarcity, because I hate scarcity. And I just, you know, when you're ready to jump, I'm ready to be there for you, kind of thing. There's no pressure. So we're just evergreen now. And the other thing that we're launching at the moment is a membership. So that's for existing podcasters. And in that membership, it's like $20 a month. You get an access to a live call with me once a month and access to a video training once a month. So that can be with a guest on a topic like making money from your podcast. And then we do podcast editing and all that kind of jazz, but it all lives on radcasters.com.
So if anyone wants to know anything about podcasting, that's where they need to go.
Yeah, for sure. And then I've got a researcher, Jo. She does a whole bunch of really great articles on the kind of stuff that I have no idea about. So, so there's really good, solid information that isn't just, you know, me talk. I'd like to focus on the emotional stuff of podcasting and the mindset stuff and making sure that you're following your passion. And she's very much more, you know, marketing strategies and, you know, she's the geek and I'm spiritual woo-woo type. So we make a good pair.
Okay, so I always like to ask a little bit of a fun question when we get to the end of the interviews, just to find out a little bit more about you.
Sure.
So let's go. If we were to make a movie of your life, who would play you?
Jennifer Garner.
Jennifer Garner, and why? She's got a nice looking body, doesn't she?
Yeah, and she's got the body that I wouldn't mind having myself, but I'm too lazy.
All those fun things that she does. She just bounces off walls and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. And she just seems like a cool chick, you know? Like, she'd be the kind of chick that I could have a beer with. I don't know if she'd drink beer, but, you know, maybe she'd have a vodka lime soda or something.
Oh, right, yeah. So she'd make a good Carly, would she?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
She'd just fit the part.
Yeah, that or Sarah Silverman, one of those two.
Well, I want to thank you for being part of this show today. It's been absolutely fantastic. I've learnt so much from you, and I really want to thank you for really opening up about, you know, your businesses, what you've been doing, and, you know, and that the conversation that we've had, because I think it is a conversation that needs to be had, and many women are not hearing that side of stuff. So I really want to thank you for actually sharing all of that, because it's been fantastic. I've enjoyed it, and I'm sure our listeners will enjoy it as well.
Thank you. And I just want to add one thing to that, actually. Yep. You know, I think that a lot of people, a lot of women feel like they can't be honest and vulnerable because it somehow makes them less strong. But I have to say that I've been through a lot, and I'm a pretty freaking strong woman, and I'm successful. So, you know, I just call bullshit on that. You be who you want to be.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important lesson, because I totally agree with you. I think that women are afraid of being vulnerable, but when you're vulnerable and you open yourself up, strengths come from everywhere.
Yeah.
And you're not only helping yourself, and I think primarily you're helping yourself, but you're showing others that there is a different way of doing it. This is very much about the masculine, the feminine energy. I think if we embrace our feminine energy and we're who we are and we're open and nurturing to ourselves and to others, I think, you know, businesses they'll just go off, and life will be exactly what you want when you're not afraid.
For sure.
So that was another great ending.
I can't stop talking. Somebody stop me.
It's all right. I'm going to turn the recording off very shortly. And I want to thank all of our listeners for joining us as well. I hope you've enjoyed listening to this interview as much as I've loved being part of it. Please pop over to the website, www.angelacouncil.com. Let us know what you thought. Share your views on what we've been discussing today, this vulnerability, being open. Did you enjoy what Carly had to say? Did you learn anything from Carly besides about, you know, making sure we've got perfect audio on our podcast? Because she's very particular about that. But please feel free to come over, join the conversation on the website. Subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher Radio for those Android users like me out there. While you're over there, please leave us a rating. I love those 5-star ratings, and let us know what you think. Leave a review on iTunes as well. So until next week, from my heart to yours, infinite love and gratitude. Bye for now. Thanks for joining us today on this episode of Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business. As always, if you've got any comments, please feel free to leave them on the website, www.angelacouncil.com. While you're over there, you can also grab your 14-day stress-free living challenge. And if you'd like to learn a little bit more about what I do, why not pop into our private Facebook group called Stress-Free Living. So until next week, when I'll be back with some more exciting information for you, from my heart to yours, infinite love and gratitude. Bye for now.